trying people to
got stomach issues, bro.
It's like saying, oh, can I have a burger, but I don't want it too well done. I want it just like, you know, boiled.
It's not like that.
It's not like that. It's just so awesome.
I want a cheeseburger, but I don't want the cheese too melted. Like one of those. Get out of here.
What's up, Just Foodies? Well, this isn't actually Just Food DXB.
That's right. Guys and girls, welcome to a new food podcast hosted by me, Taryn, and my co-host, Alex, where we take you on an unfiltered, unapologetic tour of the food culture here in Dubai. And sometimes we'll go beyond.
It's called Savage Appetites, and we're aiming to serve up a heaping plate of anything and everything food-related. Plus, maybe we'll chat about the things we're not supposed to talk about.
So, if you're in the mood to listen to us waffle on, or you're just a foodie at heart looking to add another podcast to your list, then join us.
And it's even available in a visual format too. Savage Appetites, unfiltered foodie conversations.
Yay, that's sick.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to Savage Appetites. Here with me, Taryn, and my good co-host friend, beautiful Matt. Alex, how are you?
I'm very good. We're on the back nine, just on one podcast, into the back nine. I'm warmed up, I'm loosened up, the hips are going, the driver's working. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, so, I mean, last week, you just saw our first guest episode.
Yes.
With Reza, Ravenous Xerxes.
Yep. Let us know your thoughts on the socials. How did you feel? Did you get some insights? Did you not? And most importantly, who should we have on as our next guest? We want to know. Savage.appetites on the Instagram and or TikTok, YouTube.
Wow. This is a promotional episode.
Here we go.
By the way, try them Iranian kebabs because they do sound delicious. Really? Right then, buddy. Talking about food.
Yeah.
We are a food podcast.
I've got a new putter.
Tell me about your putter.
So this is the new golf putter episode for everyone listening. Your boy did get a new golf putter from Golfcroft. It's beautiful. It's called the Batman because it looks like the Batman symbol. Nice. And let me just say, she produces some birdies, baby. So if you guys want to know how to get a new putter, drop me a message. I'll put you in touch with the boys.
Love it. Food wise, anywhere recently?
Honestly, I'll be upfront. I haven't had any good food this last week. Nice. I've been to quite a few places and I haven't been to anywhere worth mentioning. I went to a place called, Shinwari.
Okay.
Charsi and Shinwari, which is basically, I like the idea of it. So I think like Charsi is like pothead in like Indian or Desi language.
Okay.
So it's like pothead and Shinwari, which is like Afghani, Pakistani cuisine. They use like karahi, which is like that lamb slow cooks, which I had the other week, which is fantastic. But then there's co-location with a Persian kubideh restaurant.
So you're just saying loads of words.
Okay, so you've got one menu, which is like karahi, Pakistani food, Afghani food, Afghan roti, all this type of stuff. And then the other side of the menu is like Persian, Shirazi salads, chicken masti, kubideh, like all of Persian kebabs.
In one restaurant.
Now, I love both things. So I'm like, fantastic, great idea. So I go in there, but the two cuisines don't gel. I don't think you'd ever have Pakistani food with a Persian kebab. The profile's like completely opposite. Mm. It's like me saying like a Nashville, it'd be like a Nashville chicken burger and sushi place. You know what I mean? Like they could both be independently really good, but like it just didn't gel. I mean, like they're doing it's a soft opening.
Where is it?
I've got to give them a bit of a, like lay off of them a little bit. It's down in Maidan area. Okay. Really nice restaurant. Love the interior. Just, I think I need to go back when it's actually up and running fully 100% because it's like, for me, it just didn't gel. Didn't gel quite well. That's probably useful if you wanted to know good places to go this week. That will not help you.
Wow.
But luckily, you're born.
Well, we'll see. Well, I've got a bit of a bumper section for this. I've got a lot to go through, actually.
Go on, then.
Been to a few places since we last met and sat here. I'll take you through. So I had some guests over as well, some family over. So we had the opportunity to go to some restaurants, which I kind of been wanting to go to. But I want to kick off actually with, have you been to a restaurant called The Nice Guys?
No.
Nice Guys in Emirates Towers, bit of a bougie restaurant.
Okay.
It's kind of one of those places to be seen. I think they have them all around the world. But I heard the restaurant's quite nice, great cocktails, great food.
Yeah.
My cousin and his partner in town, so somewhere is nice, a bit vibey. So we went there.
Yeah.
Food was great, actually. Good quality food.
What type of food is it?
So it's like a, I don't want to say, it's not a defined specific cuisine.
Don't say international. Do you dare say
that? It's very hard to kind of define for me because they had
pizza.
They had pizzas on there. Really they good. Had
shisha
bars on there. No. The menu is very well crafted and considered, actually.
Yeah.
And I was looking for the menu. I think there's an Italian. I think it is Italian, if I'm honest.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I actually don't know the defined cuisine, but because I actually just went there to enjoy the food.
Yeah.
We ordered a range of dishes from gnocchi to pizzas to...
Sounds like an
Italian restaurant, yeah. Guy had a massive Italian flag behind the bar. I think it was Indian. No. But the food was actually really good. I actually really enjoyed the dining experience. I had a wonderful singing there. The cocktails were great.
All right.
Overall, obviously, you're paying for it because it's one of those kind of bougie places.
Yeah.
But I think the experience was actually quite nice.
So it's like a day night spa, is it?
Yeah, day night spa. Everyone had a nice dinner, yeah. It was actually funny enough, I was wearing like an open shirt with I had a little vesty thing underneath, trying to be quite cool and edgy, trying to pretend to be upgrade. I walked up to the bar, walked into the restaurant, and at the entrance, he was like, "Oh, look, great to have you here. Just burn up your shirt."
Oh.
And I was like, "Oh, what? You're ruining my outfit."
Honestly. And if any, like, the podcast doesn't do it justice, you see Taz outside of this podcast, the boy's got style. Well, like, to the point that I actually want you to build a wardrobe for me before I beat her. This is serious. Like, I've run out of t-shirts.
White t-shirts, black t-shirts.
But yeah, that would put me off at a restaurant. That's probably one of the reasons why I never go to.
Yeah.
Foo-foo restaurants. Oh, you have to wear a jacket, you have to wear this, you have to wear that. Like, I want to be able to wear my Birkies and a t-shirt and my hat.
Yeah, yeah.
And
if you couldn't wear Birkies and t-shirt to this
place. Then you go there and there'll be some, like, football. Like, I remember I went to Zuma and Drogba walked in. He's in a white vest with sliders on. Walk straight
different
in.
Rules for different people, mate.
I don't see that. Just Foo should be able to wear his hat. Maybe I need to make it big time enough so eventually I can just go wherever I want, wherever I want.
Where after else? That, though, we went to have some more cocktails to enjoy the night till the early hours. Went to Moonshine. Is, I think we spoke about it before, that secret bar.
Oh, yeah, behind Wise Guys. Oh, yeah. Tell me more.
And now, I don't remember too much.
So open the door.
Yeah. Absolutely fucking forever to find this place. We were wandering around DFC.
How many fridge doors did you try?
Yeah, exactly. I was in bloody Starbucks going walking through the little... But yeah, so anyway, we eventually found it.
Yeah.
And obviously, as it is, they had this big blue fridge door. Yeah. There's a bouncer there. It's not hard to miss when you see it because it's like, why is the bouncer standing opposite a sandwich shop?
Yeah.
Wise Guys is a sandwich shop and they have this bar behind it, which is called Moonshine. Anyway, we had a reservation, so it's fine. Opens the door. You walk into this really cool, funky, light kind of alleyway.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think I've
really
seen it.
Really cool. I mean, great for Instagram pictures if you want to do all that stuff. Yeah. You walk down the alley and then you walk, corridor, whatever you want to say. You walk into this really beautiful kind of low ceiling bar, great music. You walk into the bar straight away as in you walk to the bar.
Yeah.
And they're seating around it left and right, DJs on the left. The whole interior of the design of the room has this kind of lighting effect where there's lighting from like floor to ceiling.
Oh, cool.
So, and they play with that lighting when you listen to different music.
Oh, nice.
So the experience is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly, thoroughly, highly recommend anyone to go there just for like a nice few cocktails.
Music was good. House, deep house.
From what I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you what was happening, but I remember going there and ordering a nice cocktail off the menu. I can't tell you what cocktail it is. A refreshing one. And I just remember thinking, oh, this is delightful is probably not the right terminology, but a really vibey bar. And I was like, you know, I'm enjoying my time there. So that was lovely.
I think the quality of a place increases as the ceiling decreases.
The lower
the ceiling, the better.
Exactly.
We went to Pikes in Ibiza and you walk through this little dungeon area. I swear, like, my hair was touching the roof.
Yeah.
Best night of my life. Honestly, Dubai, drop your ceilings. These high ceilings are doing nothing.
No, definitely go. Because obviously I had guests over as well. We had time to explore new places, which I've been wanting to go to. Concrete, which is a cafe down in Jumeirah.
No.
I've been wanting to go there.
You're finding all these new hidden spots without me.
Savage Appetites, co-host mate. I've been about now. I'm just unleashing my foodie reviews.
Yes.
No, go to a place called Concrete, a really cool cafe. You can obviously tell by the name. Concrete.
It's
Concrete with
concrete.
A K. Yeah, it's all Concrete. Kind of exposed interior and exterior. Do great coffees there. Not necessarily just your... You can order your regulars, American Arnos, flat wise, but they do these kind of different names of these different cocktails. Back to me. Well, they're kind of like, you know, different coffee cocktails, should we say. Different coffees, yeah?
Yeah.
With different flavors, different profiles, whatnot. I think I ordered the Freddo.
Okay, right? Greek?
Maybe. I just saw it and it looked delicious.
It is.
Wonderful space. Highly recommend people go in there. Has its own car parking space, so it's easy access. It's good. And the branding, I'm into all the interior design branding. I always look at that's my measure.
Yeah.
Like, if they've invested a lot in their branding and interior design and their experience,
yes,
I have high expectations. If they're doing all that for coffee, then
and it
went through.
Once you walk into a place and you see all that, it kind of puts you at rest. Like, I do a lot of reviews and I go to a place and obviously you see their Instagram profile and you have a certain image in your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you actually turn up and they've put the time and effort into it, you go, okay, like, yeah, yeah. I know I'm not getting food poisoning.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they clearly give... like two dams about
exactly the, and it's not say. A defined measure of
no,
the
because no, I've also been places that look great and also not
yeah,
had
exactly,
great food but
exactly.
at least it sets the benchmark
yeah exactly
puts my use of it.
So great coffee and round the corner
yeah
is 11 Green.
Oh yes, the best burger in Dubai as of last week on the What's On All Time Out Awards, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know, I can't remember actually.
Yeah, I think it was.
So I had a little stroll over to 11 Green. I got the
bull burger. Yeah,
I enjoyed it. Okay, yeah. Is it the best burger I've ever had in my life? Probably not. Was it a good quality burger? I added the extra pickled jalapenos to it. Came pretty quick, to be fair.
Yes.
Ordered the fries. The fries are really nice.
Fries are excellent.
Fries are really good. So they're quite thin and crispy.
Yeah.
I do want to cut it in half. I said, do it. Why not? It's a show. I enjoyed it. I thought, good quality burger. And that was it, though, for me.
Yeah, I think...
Great burger, but that's it. I think that's what you want, though, right?
The number three burger in the world really did. It was a blessing and a curse because the blessing was obviously it gave them the recognition and it gave them like marketing presence. Like you say that, people are going to come and try it,
100%.
But then it also kind of sets you up for failure because like people are going in expecting it's going to be the number three burger in the entire world.
Yeah,
you're only ever going to be disappointed. And fun fact for those of you listening and or watching. That's not actually the number three burger.
It's not. I don't know what actually was the number one, but
yes.
I know that's not the
so
one.
Basically, what he was saying is the judges in Texas or America, wherever they were, they like a meatier burger.
Yeah.
So for the awards, I think he actually does the bull burger with a double patty.
Ah, that'll make better. So it's a smash patty, by the way, guys.
And when you think of like burgers like High Joint, High Jams, that one you definitely need a double patty as well.
Yeah,
so
you do need a double patty in this.
Some burgers you just need it. And I agree with you. The 11 Green one, I had it and I was like, it's a lovely burger. I don't think anyone's going to go in and be disappointed.
Yeah.
But then I think it needs a double patty. So I think put it on the menu. Like if it's the secret menu, then why are you faffing around with that? Put it on the menu.
Yeah.
Put it 100 dirhams, best burger in the world.
Yeah.
And then see how people go. Did you have the chicken burger?
No, I just had the bull burger, the fries, had a Coke. My partner, she had a hamburger.
That's what you had?
No, but mine's got cheese in it and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, what? Instead of a cheeseburger?
She's got a hamburger, right?
Like, that's blasphemy.
That is weird. I said, you can sit on the other table. I don't mind that. Get out of here. Get here.
Dictator.
Yeah, exactly. Don't serve him in. Fun fact. Another fun fact, shall we say. Do you know why it's called a lemon green?
No.
Has a guest.
He used to smoke green.
So 11, back in the day, he
11
used to smoke green.
Today.
Yeah, exactly.
When he makes his burgers.
Favorite number 11, favorite color is green.
Oh, God.
That's it.
If it works, it works.
Exactly. Going on to another burger place, which I recently had. Patty and Bun.
Oh, you had it.
I had Patty and Bun. I know we're on Patty and Bun watch for the past how many episodes. I finally had it because of the show, obviously.
Yeah.
Ordered it.
Yes.
Solid. That's
delivery.
All I'm saying.
And delivery.
Delivery. It has to be delivery, isn't it?
Yeah.
Delivery.
Solid burger on delivery.
Solid burger on delivery.
I'm not buying
okay?
that.
Okay? You can tell. Right, it delivered and it was a bit cold. Right? Fries were a bit cold. Burger wasn't that cold.
Oh, 1 second. Patty and Bun breaking the fourth wall here. I told you, didn't I? I told you. Open a brick and mortar for people's first impressions. Because Tassia, he understands that. But other people, getting a cold burger, they ain't going to do it.
It came cold. It came lukewarm, right? Mm. So the burgers were a bit, but they were seasoned really well, to be fair.
That's what I think about UK burgers. They're not scared to season their food over there. Like.
Well, what I could tell, I can tell it's a good burger because I could tell the ingredients and the way it was put together was on a high level.
Good.
So you know when you buy in a burger, you can tell this is a quality burger.
Yeah.
And it has this, I don't know if it's a brioche bun. I think it is a brioche bun. My burger patty, caramelized onions, had the sauce in there. And I enjoyed it. I honestly enjoyed it. And I thought if I was in the restaurant, it'd bang. Came to me.
Still good.
Still good. You're looking at a 7, if I'm honest. 7.5.
But if that's a 7.5 on delivery, can you imagine if you went in there fresh?
That'd
be
an
8.5, maybe even a 9.
Exactly. So I'm going to still say to everyone, order it. It's on Deliveroo.
Yeah.
I think only exclusive on Deliveroo. Don't tell me a word on that. order it. Let me know your opinions on it, because I think it is a good quality burger, and it's not a smash patty. It's an actual thick old boy.
Good.
It's not a smash patty.
Because I think
which is a bit more. The reason I said it, sorry, is obviously these new burger joints. I find everyone smash patty. Yes. It's like a crazy smash patty, and they are delicious. I love a little smash patty, but it was nice to actually have some alternative.
Yes,
and I was like, and good quality.
The hand pressed burger for me, 11 Greens hand pressed as well, isn't it? It's not smashed to oblivion. Yeah. Like it's got a bit of a coarser grind or Fally. Patty and Bun, I think that's the way it's going this year.
So if you listen to Patty and Bun, invite me to your brick and mortar.
I just remembered I did go now somewhere. I had good food somewhere.
Okay.
Last Friday, I went to Big T, didn't I?
Oh!
I went back to Big T.
Did go to Big T.
So since we last spoke, a lot's happened on the old socials, hasn't it?
Oh, go on then.
So for those of you who missed it, I don't know how you missed it. So Big T was awarded a runner-up or a recognition award by Time Out. And he commended,
I think.
Commended, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His reaction was bold. Threw the award on the ground.
Threw the award, smashed it on the floor.
Which obviously went viral. A lot of people talking about it. Now, he'd banned What's On, Time Out, Love in Dubai, and 50 Best out of his restaurant.
Yeah.
Which, as the owner, so you're right, you can do that. I get that.
Yeah.
Love in Dubai then asked him for a comment.
Yeah.
And they said they were going to post it. He gave them all the comment, they wrote the article, but then they posted it from another business account that they have called like Shafi Business or something.
What? Not Love in Dubai?
No. So when we saw the post, it was like, oh, here's like him giving a statement. It's off this Shafi Business. We're like, who the hell is that?
Right.
And then obviously Big T, he's not scared, comes on social. He was like, look, you reached out to me on Love in Dubai. I gave you my statement and then you used that to post out of a random third party business account on Instagram.
That's weird.
He's like, yeah. So then... they were banned again. But then since then, Love in Dubai actually went back and they posted his statement on their main
page.
I
saw that, yeah.
Which is the right thing to do. If you ask people for a statement, let's face it, if it wasn't Love in Dubai, one of these biggest content aggregators here, you probably wouldn't have given a statement.
Yeah.
Like all publicity
is good.
Is good publicity. So I see his point. But yeah, I went in, I had his food. He was testing out some lamb chops for me.
It's now on the menu.
Now on the menu because like they are really
what
really
is
good.
His, excuse the pun, beef?
It's beef. I think, you know.
With the guy.
He's fully percent, he's 100% like authentic and honest, like from his perspective. Okay. So like we all know that the awards are somewhat influenced by the financial aspects. It's, you know, there's no way around it. They're not the only people to do it. I understand I've been there before.
Yeah.
But like, I think for him, to not be recognized after like 2 years of being operating, you know, if you were thinking best brisket or best steakhouse, best smokehouse.
Yeah. And without, credit where credit's due, he is changing
doubt,
the game on that.
He's
cuisine here.
He put smoking, like smoke meat on the Dubai map. In Dubai map, like completely. So like he does deserve some recognition from the awards, but obviously he didn't win it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's kind of caused the issues. But like, look, I want to get him on the podcast. I think at the end of Ramadan, fingers crossed, he's going to come on and just explain a little bit more about this. But, you know...
I'll be honest. When I first started following him and he was like always replying to the haters and what like that, and I was like, thinking in my head, I'm like, this guy, you're doing it wrong. I'm like, because you're just feeding the egos of the haters. This is what they want. You're making yourself look like an idiot. And then the more I watched, I went, I said, you know what? I actually respect him. Because, you know, obviously, in this region, by law, there are certain things you can't say out loud to the public. Fair enough. That's the country we live in, and that, and you have to respect the laws we live in. But he goes in and calls anyone out. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He does his own thing. I just started to find it so comedic.
It's
the way he does and just calls people, like, I don't care. And I'm like, I love it. I want it all the time.
The thing is, I think it's so refreshing, like, in this market, is to see that 100% authenticity. Like, how many, like... Can you imagine, like New York Italian deli owners New York? They'll be they're exactly the same on social media. Like, they've 100%. Got huge presence. They become these social media personalities because they don't give a fuck and they say whatever they want.
Yeah.
And, like, over here, no one does that. So when
you're
not
allowed
to say
stuff.
It's like, it's outrageous. It's raw. It's really not what we're used to, but at the same time, I love it. Like, keep going. I do think the throwing the award is a bit of a statement. Like, it really did. It shocked a lot of people, and even people who would say they were on Big T's side may have said that it was like a little bit distasteful. But look, you give someone an award, they can do whatever the hell they like with it. And it was one hell of a throw. It really was. I saw the award afterwards, and it's.
I mean, look, like you said, any publicity is good publicity, to be fair.
Yeah.
That is now even, you know. made him like even more in the news? Or
I saw a lot of people like, I was going to go and try his food, and after seeing this, I would never
he doesn't care.
He's been open for 2 years. If you haven't gone to try his food, you never really
He doesn't give a fuck anyway. I don't care.
He's busy. I went on there Friday as soon as they opened, like half an hour in, he's got queues out the door. He's doing something right.
Love it. Oh, actually, tell you what, I went back to Time Out Market.
Oh yeah.
And because we spoke about Time Out Market before.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the restaurants and when they get changed over. They have changed over restaurants.
Yeah, they got rid of the old.
Got
rid of the old, in with the new.
In with the new.
They've got Little Jun's in there.
Yep, so new places. Cafe Island. Little Jun's.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like
Calvin's
band, which is funny enough, I'm going to Jun's on Friday.
Oh, good.
Should I sit outside or inside?
It depends on how hot it is. Like, he's ramped up. I'd normally sit outside, but you can sit inside as well. Music's class as well.
Okay, fine. I'm going there on Friday for iftar. Can't wait.
Oh, the iftar's good.
Oh, is the iftar menu?
I didn't know. The iftar menu apparently is packed.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going there on, this Friday. Okay, I'll just tell you the ones where I know is the new places.
Yeah.
So, Alagrek.
What's that?
Alagrek. Created exclusively for Time Out Market. Mm. By, I'm really going to butcher this guy's name.
Go on, let's see.
It's Greek, I think.
Oh, I'm so sorry. After I butchered the Chinese restaurant last week.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. Anthasiasios Kadgatadisis.
Let's have a look at that.
Go on then. So,
where's he? Show me.
Fine. This is very good for audio listeners.
It's all right. I want to find one.
Here it is. Here we go. Let's see if Alex can pick this up.
Antasios Kagatsis. I'm Greek, I reckon that's it.
Right, aka Chef Tommy.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
AKA Tommy Shelby, there we go. Beautiful British.
AKA Chef Tommy, that's what they say. This concept, the first brick and mortar store for himself to operate in the city. So it's Greek restaurant.
Honestly, Chef Tommy, thank you. Where is all the Greek food being in Dubai? Don't say Mythos.
I'm not saying
if they're charging me 100 dirhams for 2 tiny souvlaki skewers, I'm not having it, all right?
Yeah, okay, fine. Eat Greek?
Absolutely not. Like,
there's another one. Taverna?
Taverna, decent. Taverna's actually good.
I'm glad you said that. I actually really like Taverna.
I went to Taverna and I was like, this is the closest I found to like a proper Greek like Taverna, obviously.
Good,
like,
I thought it's in the Manna.
Yeah.
Medina, Jamila.
Good location.
Great, you sit on the terrace. Yeah. Wonderful. Amira misses. And I was like, this is great Greek food. But I didn't know if it was one of those kind of like hotel restaurants. And I was just like, but I was like, you know what? I rate Taverna. I love it.
The thing is, like, I wouldn't class myself as an expert or knowledgeable about many cuisines. Like, my family are from Cyprus. I was born in Cyprus. I spent all my summers over there. Like, I know Greek food. I'm Cypriot. Yeah, Cypriot Greek. Like, I know Greek food. And you go to these tavernas on the side of the road, they come over, massive bowl of Greek salad, tzatziki, meze, you go, meze for 3 people. And they'll just bring you whatever they want, octopus, lamb, this, that.
Love it.
Don't pay that much. Obviously, we're in Dubai. I get that you're going to have to pay a premium. But when I go into a Greek restaurant and I'm paying 100 dirhams for 2 tiny little souvlaki skewers and a little portion of fries, I'm not having it.
Yeah, yeah.
The gyro,
and
like,
tzatziki is
they're
expensive.
Doing gyros, you know, you have like a platter or a wrap and this little tiny handfuls of this meat. It's like Greek food has always been like generous portions. It's, sharing with your family.
Business.
And that. Like, come in here, meze for 3 people, and chef sells what he wants and charge me a decent amount.
Reasonable,
but give me value for money, because at the moment, your boys are angry.
I was going to say, good thing.
Sorry, Mythos.
You don't seem angry about this still, do you?
No, it's just I took my mum and dad to Mythos, and like even my dad, like my dad's like, he's Greek Cypriot, and he was like, what is this?
Next one. Alex's favourite cinema, Odeon.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to last episode?
Yeah, from the cinemas in Devon to one of the finest restaurants in Time Out Market. Well done.
Odeon, Odeon's open in Time Out Market. It's French deli, cheese, patisserie. All the idea is sourcing well-sourced ingredients.
Yeah.
Cold seafood platters.
Yeah.
I've not tried it. Cloudline pastries. I've not tried it, but it's supposed to be very delicious. And then under by Alici. Flavors of the Amalfi Coast. Obviously, they're the team what brought El Borro.
They know their stuff.
Exactly. And then Alici as well, obviously the seafood Mediterranean.
I worry about those restaurants that, you know, Time Out Market, people are going in and drinking, they're having beers, having socials, they're catching up.
We talked about this.
If you look at the ones that are doing success, like Pit Fire Pickle, Hatamata, is an Italian, is a like a refined, like fine dining Italian going to do well on there? I'm open to seeing you guys do well.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get Cafe Asan on there?
No.
Cafe Asan, legit Thai food. Legit. One of the OG Thai food places.
Yeah.
Now open in Time Out Market. Must go there. Pad Krapao, get it.
Tell me about the restaurant.
Cafe Asan, so it's run by two women. One's English, the other one is the Thai chef.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they opened in JLT, small little place. Down by the waterside, won loads of awards, really, really authentic. Like you sit on plastic chairs, plastic plates, the true feel.
Yeah, yeah.
They then went out from that into a licensed place up on a terrace in JLT. Then they allowed like buckets of drink and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now they've just gone into Time Out Market. But they are their food is authentic, legit Thai food.
Great. And they're a homegrown brand.
They are a homegrown brand. Ask for it spicy. Don't let any Thai chef whiteboard your food. Go in there, ask for it Thai spicy.
Thai spicy is
suffer but enjoy.
Spicy.
I when I see people Thai food, oh look, can we have the Thai green curry but not too spicy? It's like it's I'm trying
people
to
people got stomach issues, bro.
It's like saying, oh, can I have a burger but I don't want it too well done. I want it just like, you know, boiled.
It's not like that. It's so awesome.
I want a cheeseburger, but I don't want the cheese too melted. Like one of those.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Fine.
Get your spice, blow it out.
Spice boy?
Blow it out your ass the next day.
So, yeah, exactly. So talking about homegrown brands. I thought it'd be nice to talk about homegrown brands who are now going global. We've already spoke about how we have so many international brands come to Dubai.
Yeah.
And it's quite now refreshing to see homegrown brands going out there.
Yes.
To the world. I came across an article on Arabian Business by Tala Issa titled Dubai Restaurants Go Global, Gaia Pickle, Wok Boys Head to Miami, London, Canada, and the UAE Takes on the World.
Okay.
So I thought it'd be quite nice to kind of have a little conversation about this. Let's go. So Fundamental Hospitality are the owners of Gaia, another restaurant.
Watch your mouth here.
I've said my comments about Gaia. I said he's Chef Izu, an incredible chef. Yeah, I just didn't like the 900 dirham fish I had, which was
kiss that
average.
Ass, boy, because you're going to get in trouble with it.
No, I've always said, great restaurant, great chef. He's the best person in the world. No, I'm joking. But the 900 dirham fish, not for me.
So now they'll pay that in London, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. So they've obviously had like amazing success here in Dubai. I think probably people, if you saw about the big restaurants in Dubai, they're definitely at the top here.
Yeah.
So and then they opened actually in London too long ago, I think. So and had massive success in London.
Good.
And now they're going to move to Marbella, I believe.
Oh, interesting.
So they're going to move. So, yeah, that'll be their first debut into Espanol.
Well, I imagine they're on the same sort of level as like a Namos, right? And Namos has got presence all around the world. So, yeah, I think Guy can go and compete.
They're going to be opening Q3 in Marbella. And also, actually, the Miami branch is in construction now. And I think they'll do well in Miami because it suits. Just,
like, anywhere where people got a load of money, don't really care.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, credit to them. They know what they're doing.
Open one in Ibiza and then maybe I'll find somewhere we can host our...
Yeah.
I just love your wedding lunch.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. If you want to shout out that. Yeah.
Anyone who knows anything about places in Ibiza, you can get me a booking for Saturday the 29th for 30 people. Can you just reach out to me, please?
Your boy's getting married.
Your boy's getting married and nagged about not having a place booked.
Savage Appetites are going to be there live in the fresh. We'll do a live review.
Podcast from Ibiza. Maybe not.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be sick, actually.
That would be good.
Sunglasses on at all times. Yoke Brands. Do you know Yoke Brands?
I've heard of them.
Well, they're the ones who bring you pickle. Bombard 762.
Oh, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're the mother entity of these brands here. So I've got some few excerpts here, but obviously Pickle this year are opening in Qatar.
Mm.
Early Q2.
Fine.
Pickle's moved to the mass. I mean, it's a fantastic restaurant, great food. Egypt will come in on the line shortly after that.
Fine.
Q8. Saudi are all on the list.
Yeah.
That's kind of their kind of vision for people.
I reckon they'll be able to do that easy.
Easily. And they're like, this was a bold claim. Over the next 10 years, Yoke Brands aims to open 1,000 stores globally across their portfolio of brands. So over all their three brands. Four brands, actually. They've got another one as well. What's it called now?
Oh, they've got a new coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they want to open 1,000 stores over the next 10 years.
I reckon they can do that.
I think so too.
Like, can you imagine if you take something like 1762 to London, Manchester, Birmingham?
Yeah.
Like, I actually want to discuss this with you. Like, if you take Pickle to London,
yeah.
How do you reckon it would do? Like, imagine take the brand away, take the pickle brand away, and just judge it purely on the food. If you took a pickle burger into London, because like the competition over in London is huge.
I think the competition there is rife. And I still think they can hold their
heads. I reckon
heads.
They would.
I think they can certainly hold their heads. London's buyer's choice, if you can get in the right market, the right place, people's going to go, oh, hey, that's a great burger joint. And that's all it is.
I think they need to get the perfect location. I think the brand's going to carry itself. Like the demographic 18 to 35, like predominantly male demographic.
They know what they're doing.
They're going to kill that. But like London's super competitive. I'd be interested to see whether people would like accept it whether they'd... The competition would be like...
No, I think there's a difference between opening a burger shop in London, which is average, large, mid, to pickle coming there, because they are a great quality burger. I've had friends come over from UK, all around the world, and they go, oh, this burger's banging.
Yeah,
like, it's actually a good quality burger. And actually, if they do manage to successfully launch 1,000 stores within the next 10 years, they will be the biggest Middle East exporter of homegrown brands.
I reckon if they can crack London, if they really crack London, get a bit of virality around it, I would probably go back to when they first opened, like get the burgers bigger, juicier, like make it more like visually like appealing. They still do, but I think when they first opened, it was that much more like wow factor. And then take that to London and give the London boys a good run for their money.
I'm excited
to see that. I'd love that.
I love it.
And they'd be like, the new viral Dubai-based burger place in London goes all over the UK, 10,000 stores.
Take us with you anyway.
Yeah, that'd be good.
There's a really nice quote, which kind of speaks to me a bit more in terms of the business side of how these brands are successful.
Right? Yeah.
So I'm just going to read it out because I think it's so true to in terms of scalability and taking your brand beyond. It's more forthright in thinking of, okay, we have this store.
Yeah.
Great, it's a success. But what they do, they curate these dining experiences that can be obviously scaled.
Yeah, yeah.
So he says here, let me find it.
Is it Steve?
Is it Steve, yeah. Steve is the CEO of Joke Brands and obviously the founder and creator of
Mr. Pickle himself.
Yeah, so he goes, we work hard in creating concepts that are scalable. This rolls through the menu engineering, interior designs, the materials, full business modeling, staff training, the supply chain and consistency. And it's not just the consistency of the product, but the consistency on every single touch point of the business.
Yeah.
And the rest is just pure grit, hard work and relentless for perfection. And I feel that's very interesting because it's not, obviously, the food is imperative and it's the most fundamental part of a restaurant, of course.
Yeah.
But what they're doing in terms of curating the experience and how can they be scalable across regions, they're smart enough to say, okay, well, even turn the interior design, how easy can we replicate that elsewhere?
Well, when you look, I was watching The Founder the other day, you know, the film about the founder of McDonald's, how it got started. Really, really good. That's a crazy story.
Yeah. You know what? You'd be good. We'll do an episode on this.
Yeah.
On food films, foodie films.
Because that was really interesting. Like, I've seen it a few times. It was good to revisit it. But, like, when you think about a concept like McDonald's, like, maintaining that consistency, not across one brand or one branch or 10 branches, but over 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. Like, how do you maintain that consistency on an operational scale? Really, really hard to do. Like, can you imagine someone like an 11 Green having 100,000 branches around the world? It's a completely different operation. So I think when Pickle approach this, they are thinking long term. They're thinking like, oh, it's great to have this, but can we do it over this many branches, this many countries? And I think they're probably out of here, like out of the brands.
They're probably in the best position to do that.
Like, as much as I'd like to see a high joint go to the UK or something, I don't know if that scale, that like all over the UK, be crazy. I mean, I hope more brands do go to the UK. I think it'd be good to just see
globally. The other brand that they mention here in the article, What Boys Goes International.
Have you ever had What Boys?
Yeah,
really?
I've had What Boys loads of times.
Yeah.
It's usually I order it when I work sometimes.
What's it like, Panda Express or?
No, it's more curated than that. It's more better quality than
is
that.
Is it?
So it's essentially you can choose the kind of, it's basically, by the name, suggest Wok Boys, Wok curated dishes. So you can choose noodles, you can choose your protein, choose your sauce.
Okay, yeah.
And it's a mix of blend, but it's actually really good food.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, okay, it's not like trash.
The thing is, I got puffed by the name when I had Wok Boys. I was just like, the name just may sound a bit like...
Yeah, and I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I think the brand is good. It's a bit that kind of edgy. The name's in graffiti. I think it's quite a fun... funky band, and I think it represents the owners quite well, and the food is obviously order yourself and tell me what you think. It's one of those things you can order reasonably priced, choose kind of what you want, and it comes. When you just want it
to come in the little box.
Yeah.
Come
in the little box. That's it. Chopsticks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What, boys?
But can you imagine like a street food place like that? Just a guy with a big wok cooking into order and then putting in those little boxes you just walk around with.
That's all it is. Exactly what it is. So they recently launched in Canada, Oman, and Ghana. They're the three. I was quite interested.
I'm going to stay clear of that one.
No, I think they say there's part of their multi-store development, launch of more than 25 new venues within the next 5 years. That's cool. Their kind of branch, which is quite interesting for something like Wok Boys here. I think it's in JLT. I thought, that's it. Fine. Have you ever been Wokyo as well?
Yeah, Wokyo. I love Wokyo.
It's the same.
Oh, is it?
No, not the same company.
All right.
You know this principle of it.
Yeah.
Build your own. I love Wokyo. And just a closing statement by Steve, actually, which I quite like.
Just Food is the best food blog in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Just Food has a 300-yard drive. Yeah. No, he goes, he says here, I really hope our story inspires others to follow us on this journey. For so long now, the region has imported franchise brands from around the world. Part of the reason of us doing this is driving it forward to show the rest of the world that in this region, we are too capable of creating epic brands with stronger product lines, cleaner ethics, and a successful business model that can people truly love and embrace.
I just had this idea.
Yeah.
Imagine if I have to eventually move back to UK.
If you have to, yeah.
What if I opened a pickle franchise?
Yeah, exactly.
How full circle would that be? Yeah. Like,
okay, you open the pickle, I'll open the Bombard because I love my fried chicken.
Let's do that.
Steve,
if you listen to this, Steve, hit your boy up, UK franchise pickle.
Franchises are expensive. But you know,
that would be really cool, wouldn't it?
And then we can just do the podcast all the time. We do one episode in Bombard.
One episode. Do you know, like,
Yasmin will have to take you with
when
me.
When I started that podcast, like 3 years ago with the boys, that never took off because we just got
you're not allowed to.
Got way too wasted.
You can never have that.
But we were talking about pickle. That was the first place that we ever talked about on a podcast was pickle. And imagine going full circle. Your boy then owns a franchise.
This is your Netflix documentary.
Mate, your boy goes off woo-woo vibes right now. The universe, something in the universe is telling me to open a franchise.
It's happening. Anyway, but I thought that's quite interesting to know that. It's quite nice to see homegrown brands now moving globally across. It's everyone just coming to here.
Yeah, keep doing what you do.
Keep doing what you're doing. Talking about world facts.
Go on.
We still got one more segment.
Good. I was just checking the time.
Yeah.
We right?
Yeah, we've got
good.
We've got 15 minutes.
Yasmin was closing her laptop. I was like, oh.
I know.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, fine.
I
can relax then. I was
I was finishing that last bit, that's when Yasmin closed up. I was like, oh, we've got to go.
Yeah.
But that looks at the time. We've got about 15 minutes.
Good.
This is a bit more of a fun thing, right?
Okay.
What was I watching? I was watching someone on YouTube.
Someone feed Phil.
And I cried. I was watching someone on YouTube and it was like a Guinness World Record or something. I think it was like the biggest world pizza.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder what other weird and funky Guinness World Records there are around food.
Okay.
So I went on the internet.
Yes.
On that website called Google. And I just searched weird Guinness World Records around food. I've got a few here and I want you to kind of guess at what that record is. Okay.
Yep,
well, I'm just going to give you like a statement or a phrase. And then you've got to guess what that world record is about.
Okay.
Okay. Right, and then we'll go into a bit more detail.
Fine.
Okay. I don't know.
I think I get it. All right. Let's go.
Yeah. I don't know if this is going to work.
Do a test run.
We'll do it. Okay. Okay. I'm going to just say a phrase.
Yeah.
Okay? You got to guess what it is. Okay. Baby got Mac. What do you think that?
Say it one more time.
Baby got Mac. Baby got Mac. What do you think that Guinness World Record is?
Guinness World Record.
What do you think that is?
Baby got Mac. Maybe something about Mac and cheese. Maybe like a rap about mac and cheese.
Why would that be a Guinness World Record?
Most records sold about food.
No. Mac. Think Mac. What's the famous Mac?
Yeah, MacBook. Oh, Big Mac.
Oh, here we go. Big Mac. Okay. What do you think the record could be around Big Mac?
Around Big Mac. Baby got Mac.
I'm just saying a phrase.
The smallest Big Mac?
No.
How many babies got Big Mac?
No, you're thinking too literal. Baby got Mac. Baby got Mac was just a
how many babies got a Mac?
No, got
what? It'll never work.
This is not working as well.
Okay,
basically to get you to Big Mac.
Okay.
Okay. Baby got Mac. It's just a phrase I just made up.
Okay.
Big Mac. Okay.
How many most Big Macs eaten ever?
Ever in a lifetime.
There's that guy with the ponytail in the US, isn't it?
Donald Gorsk.
Yeah, he's seen a Big Mac every single day.
Big Mac every single day since the 70s. Has a guess of how many Big Macs this guy has had.
Oh, I remember he was on like Supersize Me.
He was on like
10? No, he couldn't be on 10,000.
What do you think?
Go on, like 3,000.
3,000. So yeah. You think he's at 3,000?
No, it'd be, yeah. Maybe, yeah, 3,000, yeah.
So you think...
356 times 10, 3,500.
Mate, I've had 3,500. That's easy. 34,128. If he's having it, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, bro.
Oh, yeah, he was having... I thought it was one
This guy
day.
Is no, Big a, Mac Mac.
Oh, my God. How many? 340,000?
34,000.
My God, how many calories would that be?
This is pointless working.
But it goes
is
to
he
show
not
you,
dead?
Goes to show you, you can eat. It's just a... Calories in, calories out.
Yeah, and health-wise as well, to where I don't know if that gives you enough sustenance.
Honestly,
to live.
Oh my God, can you imagine how he feels all the time?
Oh God, gosh, grim. Imagine his skin.
Yeah.
Okay, that was that one. I don't know if he's gonna wear.
Let's try
okay,
it
another
anyway.
Phrase. Another phrase. Bev Nation.
Bev Nation.
Yeah, you got to guess what that world record.
The most beers consumed in a nation. Which country consumes the most beers on an annual?
No, but no. You're kind of the kind of, you're on the bevvies. Think about, where do we consume alcohol?
Bars.
And?
Pubs.
Pubs, okay.
Which place has the most number of, which country has the most pubs?
Close, but think of it a different way. Think of it from a single person.
Which man is, the man is visit the most number of pubs, person is visit the most amount of pubs in one country, or visit all the pubs in the UK?
Bruce Masters,
yeah,
has visited the most, as I say, drinking establishments since the 1960s, where he sampled the local brews up until this date. How many pubs do you think good old Brucey has visited
in his life?
Yeah, that's the world record, bro.
Oh my God, I don't know, 100,000.
You are so shit at this game. 100,000.
Well, he could do breakfast, lunch, and dinner at three different pubs. You could hit five pubs in a day.
Yeah, but he's got to do that every day.
Yeah, like... well, I don't know. He sounds like a lunatic.
He is a lunatic. I've got a picture of me just holding a nice old ale. 46,495 pubs he's visited. Imagine that pub crawl.
It's all like Lyndon and Rick have done. Probably
do you want to see what it looks like? There he is.
He's really happy.
He's happy. There you go, guys. Probably not
seen. Imagine how he feels. Does he have to drink a drink in those pubs? Or can he just go around and hit, like, visit 10 in a day?
No way, no. You've got to have a pie in there. He seems like a man who enjoys a pie.
You know what? I've got a feeling we're going to be reading about Pie Man DXB in one of these in 10 years' time.
Yeah, exactly.
Most number of pies consumed around the world.
Pie Man DXB.
He was in, like, Thailand or Bali, eating pies in Bali. Apparently, there was, like, a video of him going to this old boy in Bali. He's like 6 years old, the only person who makes pies in the entire country.
This guy's dedicated to pie.
Mate, he loves pies. Yeah. He messaged me, he was like, any pie suggestions? I was like, I don't tend to eat too many pies.
Let's go to you, my friend. You're called Pie Man.
Yes, if I'm going to pigeonhole myself with pie, it wouldn't be pies. I'll probably die.
I do love a pie. Yeah. We're actually going to get him on the pod, actually.
Yeah, we will. We will. I want to find
Pie Man DXB, we know. We've been chatting.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Keep doing what you're doing. Keep eating the pies. We want to know what the best pie is in the UAE, but we'll find out when you're on next. Okay, next one. Oh, these are not going well. Oodles of noodles.
Most number of noodles, most amount of noodles eaten in a lifetime.
No.
Longest noodle ever eaten. Longest noodle ever eaten?
No, not ever eaten.
Longest noodle ever made.
Ever made, yes.
San Juan noodles,
baby. I'm not going to pronounce this as you butchered that.
I'll do it.
Okay, right. There it is here. Alex, if you don't know, Alex has got, I think it's a master's in Mandarin.
No, my grandmother's actually Chinese, so yes, I'm one-eighth Chinese.
So he knows how to pronounce these perfectly without actually being...
easy.
Got him.
Shang Yam.
Zhang Yang. Okay, Zhang Yang. Food Co. Limited.
You set me up for that one. This is the longest thing. You're like, I'll get him to say that.
Where is it? China. Where in China? Nanyang.
Next to the best duck chef in the world.
No, he's here now.
Oh, he's here. He's here. Sorry, best duck chef.
He left that restaurant. China, yeah, he left this restaurant. He's like, fuck your longest noodle. I'm going to make the best duck.
Exactly.
And he's gone over. Anyway, 2017, 28th of October, they made the longest noodle ever created. How long?
5.043 meters.
5.50
meters.
What were we saying?
I thought I saw 5 meters written on there.
You tell me what it is.
50 meters.
50 meters. That's fucking amateur hour, mate.
What?
That's amateur.
5,000 meters.
Okay, nice.
500 meters. 3,084 meters. That is
0.32.
That's such a lot of effort. What's the point? I appreciate these Guinness World Records, but like, why?
Because to get a Guinness World Record.
Can you imagine going through the effort of making a 3.5 kilometer noodle, and at the end of it, someone gives you a plaque, and you're like,
yes. What we're talking about is Slam Jam.
Yeah, true.
This is the ambition. Obviously, they must.
I want someone in Dubai to go after a record. Who would it be?
Dubai's full of records. You know,
no,
I.
But like, oh yeah, they actually.
I actually think
like a restaurant.
Oh, maybe.
Gaia, I'm most sure. Expensive Greek salad ever sold.
No, most expensive bloody fish.
Oh, it's the fish.
Large mid ever sold. I actually think Dubai has the city that has the most world records at any city in the world.
The most city with most records.
Yeah,
that's a way.
I think they actually do. Don't quote me on that. I think it's true, actually. Okay. We've got a time for one or two more, haven't we?
Yeah. Okay, more. Give me your best one out of those two.
Well, no, I should know it's one. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, it is one. It's one. And then I had a list of just some random ones we can talk about, but, you know, whatever. Okay, I've got to put some singing to this one. You've got to guess what it is. Why do you build me up? Buttercup, baby, just to let me down. What is that?
Can you say it again for me?
No, I'm not saying it again.
That's a song, Buttercup.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
most records sold.
Think about food. This is a food record.
I don't know. Most about buttercups eaten in the world. Most about butter.
Wait. Okay, that was again. I love how I said this is a food related quiz, and I give him that. He goes, most records sold.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right,
two podcasts on the road is hard.
Yeah.
Most amount of butter made.
Most
eaten.
About bu- okay, here
most
we go.
Most amount of butter eaten.
Yeah.
In a lifetime.
No. Close.
Go on.
Most amount of butter eaten in 5 minutes.
Oh, God. Can you imagine how he feels?
That is great.
Who feels the worst? Beer guy.
Bruce.
Big Mac guy or butter guy? Which one feels the most? It's got to be butter guy.
Imagine you eat. So, okay. Don Lerman.
Just a spoon.
Oh, I couldn't do that with mayonnaise.
Oh, imagine melting in your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Don Lerman from America. Don Lerman from America ate 28 ounces, which is roughly around 800 grams of butter in 5 minutes. Now, that is a pointless record to me. Because if you said to me, oh, I had a restaurant, I made the longest noodles in the world. Oh, that's quite interesting. And you go to bloody Bruce, and he's like, look, I've visited every single pub in England. Yeah. Fair flipping play. This guy's like, I've had 32,000 Big Macs. Shut up. And this guy in the corner is like, I ate 800 grams of butter in 5 minutes. I'm like, you need to go to school.
Yeah.
You should be doing
that
this.
That guy over there is eating 36,000 yeah. Big Macs, and you've just eaten just slightly shy of a kilo of butter in one
yeah,
sitting.
Exactly. Get your little tub of butter and get out of my house.
Why would you do that? Just why? ask yourself, why?
Why do we do this podcast?
Do you know that Poulton was almost...
Our friend.
Our mate Poulton was almost Dubai's pie-eating champion. Dana Barasti, when we first came.
Oh, I watched. I
so
remember.
Basically, they had like, I think it was 10 pies, like Ginster's pie, so they had to eat on the beach in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
He gets up there, and there's a guy next to him who had the techers. He's been there before. It's probably Pie Man now.
Yeah, exactly.
And basically, he took all the 10 pies and he took the lids off them and stacked the lids so we didn't like cool down.
Yeah, this guy's a pro.
And then he was like munching them down with the water. Paul was trying to eat these pies in the middle of the summer, like burning his mouth. And like, where's you from? And he's like, they're too hot. They're too hot. And then the other guy finished them. So Paulson ate 9 pies out of the 10 pies and still didn't win anything.
Nine of the pies.
I think he had a few more. And then he was going to the crowd and saying, who wants a pie? And everyone's like, no, no. He's like, yeah. Just like launching pies at people, like hot pie. Oh my God.
We just get going. Our next podcast, we get Paulson and Pie Man.
Yeah. Oh, pie eating contest. I think Paulson retired now. I think you'd struggle to convince him to
he's in bad shape these days.
Yeah, yes.
Anyway, look, thank you guys. That is episode 9.
We're getting towards the magic.
We're going to the magic tent.
If I don't speak to you before, well, I'll speak to you after. Your boy's going on a stag do tomorrow.
Alex's going on a stag do tomorrow.
If I don't come back, just let me know that I love you all. Thank you everything for everything that you did.
And can you just follow the Instagrams and
follow
socials?
Follow Savage.Appetite.
I might just be
just
solo.
Because I might pass away and then you'll be able to keep my image alive on that platform.
AI. Yeah. I've got AI Alex. I've got enough content.
I endorse the AI to use my face as likeness.
If I could. We talk about burgers the whole time. Yeah. Anyway, look, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Lock in next week. All the best.
See you later.
Bye.
Savage Appetites.